Welcome to the Axis Astrology Podcast. I'm Alison Price and I'm here with my good friend Arwen O'Neill. We're coming to you from Vancouver, Canada. Today we will be discussing the upcoming astrological transits for November 17th to the 30th. We're going to be talking a little bit about the moon phases, and our astrology 360 topic for today will be Sagittarius. But first up, we're going to tell you a little bit about what we've been doing.
You've been very busy over the last couple of weeks. You just got back from Niagara, where you were at a conference.
I did.
And I'm dying to hear about it.
Yes. That was not last weekend. The weekend before, I was at the SODRA Astrological Conference in Niagara Falls on the US side. Mm-hmm. I was there for 5 nights, and it's a conference. It's been going 17 years. There was probably 150 attendees. Fantastic speakers. It was astrology from morning, noon, and night. It was fantastic.
Wow. That's a long conference.
It is. It is. Well, they have pre-conferences, and then, I stayed the day after because I was going to visit family on the way home.
Oh, nice.
Very nice. And I gave a talk about on the Saturday morning about solar arc directions, the other forecasting method, which is one of the forecasting tools I use, apart from transits, secondary progressions, solar returns, and solar arc directions. And I really like them. That's why I wanted to talk about it. Cool. On an intermediate level, and it was I did actually have a very full class, which I was surprised, because it's not everybody's cup of tea, so I thought it might be one of those fringe discussions, but it was quite well represented, so I was pleased about that.
That's great.
Yeah, and everyone who came there, I was able to actually yesterday only send them out the screenshots of the screen to save everyone having to write every little detail down. I prefer to do it that way.
Yeah.
So I send it to them afterwards. And I've had some good feedback, but it was a complicated subject. So maybe next time I'll pick something easier.
Excellent. What was your favorite speech or presentation that you attended?
Yes, the one I attended. I tell you what was good was on the banquet on Saturday night, they had the keynote speaker, which was Samuel F. Reynolds from New York City. Hmm. And he gave a keynote like I have never heard.
Wow.
He could present it. His delivery was excellent. His content was fantastic. He was talking basically about we as astrologers have to stand up and how it is more easy to come out as gay than it is to come out as an astrologer in our society.
Yeah.
And he went down many roads with that, actually. But that was excellent, yes. And, of course, the banquet itself is great because it's a social occasion. We're sitting at circular tables. You get to meet everybody. It's all go. And then every evening they had an AFAN, a hospitality suite, where you could get your glass of wine and some nibbles and catch up with, as if you hadn't caught up with everybody or by now, every evening. And that went on till the wee hours. So it was.
Excellent.
It was go, go, go.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. So that was quite busy for me.
All
the flying up and down.
Ugh, fine. Last time I flew to the East Coast, I came home and got sick for 5 days.
Oh, just, my goodness.
Going on a plane, being all around the, a Virgo thing. It's germs.
I hear.
All winter, I prefer to stay shut in if I can.
I've become the sort of traveler who I refuse to check my bags now. I just carry
me too. It's
on.
All carry
and
on.
It, what happens is the suitcase full of equipment rather than clothes at all. So
yeah.
But somehow I've got to get a balance in there. But it is a mission to do the traveling itself.
Yeah.
But I got to see two of my daughters, so I was pleased about that.
Excellent.
As well. Yeah.
Wonderful.
So that was good. So that was the weekend before. And actually, this last weekend, I was down at the PNE Forum.
Yes.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the Body, Soul and Spirit Expo here in Vancouver.
And how was that?
It was excellent. It was so busy. It was so well represented. The guys who run it know what they're doing. I was very impressed with the organization.
Cool.
It was an incredibly... I want to say fulfilling weekend. It was, I felt I had to give a lot, as you do with doing readings at the weekend, but I met a lot of people, and it was really a great thing. We were next to the stage, so we could sort of see all the discussions going on, and they had the First Nation people doing...
music? Oh, cool.
I don't know what your instruments are called, and all sorts of things going on.
Neat.
Opening with a prayer every morning. And
how nice.
All of this business going on.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, that sounds awesome. I'm surprised it was that busy. That's really, really cool.
I know, so was I. From our side of the table, I was in there with a friend of mine, and it was really, I was busier than I thought I was going to be, so I was quite pleased about that.
Did you get around to the other booths and whatnot?
I did a quick tour around, because of course it opens for the vendors beforehand, and said hi to a couple of other people, but we were the only astrologers there, so it was solid. Yes.
Very cool.
So it's been hectic.
Yeah. Well, that's very exciting. So what do we have coming up for the next 2 weeks?
Yes, astrologically.
Astrologically. The first transit I've got on my list is on the 21st. We've got the sun moving into Sagittarius. Yay. We'll be talking about Sagittarius a bit later in our 360, but the sun moving into Sagittarius, generally, what does that mean for all of us? Moving from Scorpio into Sag.
I think it means it's a slightly a bit more relaxed sign.
Yeah.
Scorpio, it's a mutable sign. There'll probably be more flexibility. But that also means that appointments may just casually be forgotten. So we're not so buttoned up about things.
A little more outgoing.
Yes. Yeah. Indeed. It's a different feeling because the sun's always better in a fire sign. Mm. So a little bit more relaxed, I think, compared to the sun in Scorpio.
Yeah.
But we still have those other planets still in good old Saturn, still there. But that's been there a while. But I think the sun moving into Sagittarius is a good thing.
Yeah. Everyone likes late November.
Yes.
a lot of good things happening. You know, shopping, American Thanksgiving.
Yes. Suddenly you start thinking, maybe you're planning your Christmas moves or your holiday season or where you're going. And Sagittarius does have to do with journeys, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, travel plans, having to plan early for any kind of flights. Yeah.
Yes.
That's one thing I loved about moving to Canada is that, in the US, the seasons, the Christmas season's bookended by, Thanksgiving. It's pretty much, it starts right the day after Thanksgiving. You begin to put up your decorations and whatnot, like the day. It's kind of taboo to start decorating before Thanksgiving, which is the last Thursday of the month of November. But here, it's pretty much any time after Halloween, it's fair game to start decorating for Christmas.
Start decorating for the season.
I kind of actually don't mind. I mean, we've got this crane, this building that's under construction out our window, and it's a, it's a high-rise apartment building, but there's this giant crane, and they've decorated it with beautiful pink and purple lights, which are two of my favorite colors, so it's delightful.
That's great.
Yeah. And it's just, I noticed those literally right after Halloween. So
straight on those, straight into it with the end of season things, everything like that. Yeah.
And then after that, on the 24th, we have the sun square Neptune. So that'll be the sun in Sagittarius square Neptune in Pisces.
Okay.
And that'll be in the second degree. So anyone that has either any planets, personal planets in the second degree, either of those, Sagittarius or Pisces, may feel that.
So what would you say would our personal planets?
Oh, the sun, moon, the rising sign, or arguably Mercury.
Yes.
I personally have the sun and Mercury square Neptune in my chart, so I don't think that that's necessarily a doom and gloom aspect. Some people might find it a little, disorienting, or it can cause, sort of fuzzy thinking or distraction or sort of fantasizing and not really acting, possibly. These things. So if you think those are bad, prepare ahead of time. Don't schedule anything. That's a Sunday, so, maybe you won't have any, important business meetings. I wouldn't, present something to the big potential client on that day.
What would be a good thing to do on that day?
Anything artistic, anything artistic would be great. And since it's a Sunday, go out and paint or draw or go see a play or, a concert or a movie. Exactly.
Yes.
Or hang in and watch a movie, which is a lovely thing to do on Sundays.
Sounds good.
Walking Dead or anything that you watch on Sundays.
There speaks the Scorpio rising.
Yes, it is a favorite. So that's happening. And then on the 27th, which is a Wednesday, we have Venus opposite Jupiter, which isn't, it's an opposition, but it's not, the two planets aren't all that antagonistic to begin with. So the oppositions are, I think, a little bit less, fraught. Yes, exactly.
So Venus is in Capricorn at this stage. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. And Jupiter is still in Cancer, and that'll be 19 degrees that they'll be in opposition.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's interesting because Jupiter's in Cancer now, and Jupiter's the big hitter for Sagittarius as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, exactly, yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know what to say about Venus opposite Jupiter.
Yeah.
I don't have a personal opinion on that.
Mm.
I mean, I guess you could go overboard with anything that's Venusian. You could be tempted to overspend, overshare.
Overindulge.
Yeah.
Overspend.
Overspend, yes. Yeah. All those
perhaps
things.
Overspending on the Christmas.
Yes, exactly. It's, yeah. I think we can predict that pretty safely.
What are we saying? People are going to spend more money.
We're saying that, yeah, I think so. And then on the 30th, on the last day of this two-week period, we're going to have Sun trine Uranus, which is exciting. And
that is great for astrologers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It is. It brings the outer Uranus into the main consciousness.
Personal sphere, yeah.
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 Should be good for astrologers, astrology, and anything that we do.
Yeah.
It's always good when you've got a trine from the sun, usually, anyway. And when you're highlighting Uranus, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. Exactly. So what's the moon doing?
The moon, yes. Well, on Sunday, the 17th, we've got a full moon. We had the solar eclipse 2 weeks ago, so we've got this fabulous full moon, and it's in Taurus.
Hmm.
Now this is a great position for the moon because the moon is exalted in Taurus, so it really enjoys being there. And I always believe that when you have a full moon in Taurus, that is the best day to have a dinner party.
Interesting.
Because the food will be good, the ambiance will be good. Everything's going to be just perfect, and. If you can see the full moon, it will rise as you start dinner. It's excellent. It really is. And then maybe after dinner, you can go out to the patio and, I don't know, have some champagne or something. But it's always a good position for the moon because the sun is in Scorpio.
Yeah.
So the moon actually has a bit of an edge then, being exalted in Taurus and full at the same time.
Great time of year for a dinner party too, right before everyone gets all, you know, busy with the holidays and...
Yeah,
well, of course, to get together with friends.
That's right. Well, of course, the full moon in Taurus always happens when the sun's in Scorpio.
Yeah.
So when you're planning ahead, it's always a good idea to have dinner parties at full moons anyway, but the one in Taurus is quite good because it's good for food and taste.
Excellent.
And not that that's my plan, but clearly dinner will be better than on your regular kind of evening.
Not that I cook, but it might be a good time for me as well. I have lots of Scorpio friends. So
yes, or even if you've got some nibbles and... But you want to be able to see the moon.
Yes, yeah.
Whilst you're having dinner. And I think, I don't know which way we're facing here, but maybe you will or not, you know.
Yeah, we can see Venus right out our window. We face south, so we, like, every evening, right when the sun goes down, we see Venus just...
Okay, so
huge,
the sun's setting in the west, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you must be facing west, southwest?
Southwest, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then next week, the moon is then, where am I? I have it at, I have the moon, it's going into Cancer on the 20th, and then, which is always a good position for the moon, in its home sign.
Yeah.
And, moving on to the last quarter on the 25th, so that's where... that's Monday the 25th. That's where the moon is in Virgo and the sun's still in Sagittarius. So they're squaring. It's the last quarter.
Yeah.
So, again, during that square, the sun will have the edge because the sun's better off in Sagittarius than the moon is in Virgo. So if there's any kind of, I don't want to say conflict, but there's, you know, it could be a stressful time actually at the quarter.
Okay.
At that time. And then we have the balsamic moon starting on the 29th as the moon is in Scorpio and the sun goes into Sagittarius. So that's really a winding down period from the 29th, to the end of our period, which is really just the next couple of days. That really is the time to really not do anything if you can. Don't have appointments, don't schedule doctors, don't make plans, and certainly don't start anything new because you really want to wait for the new moon, which will be coming up the week after. As the moon is balsamic, you just want to rest.
That's good timing. Everyone that I know at work, and a lot of people in the U.S. will have those days off. So
Thanksgiving.
U.S. Thanksgiving is the 28th.
Oh, is it? So that's actually perfect. So after Thanksgiving, and you've got, and you don't want to eat ever again, then you can just flop about for that whole weekend. Really should be a weekend of really doing nothing if you can.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't start things. And it's a great time to recharge your batteries once a month. We have that balsamic phase, which is really the last phase. It's more like the Pisces end phase of just letting things lie fallow before it starts up again.
If you can avoid shopping or traveling on that weekend,
absolutely.
Highly recommend it.
Absolutely.
Stores will just be,
because when the moon's balsamic, your emotions are more sort of just moot.
Mm.
So it's neither up, down, or sideways. So just rather don't, take it easy.
Yeah.
Get some videos in and pizza or something.
Yes. Leftovers from that dinner party.
Exactly. So you see, you don't even have to cook. You're all, yes. All of those things. So really for the two-week period we're discussing at the moment, we're going from the full moon down to the virtually to the new moon. So it's in the waning phase. So if you're doing anything this two-week period, it's to reduce things or good time to start a diet when this period, or I don't know, mow the lawn if you don't want it to keep growing or something.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
If you haven't weeded out your summer clothes yet and made room for sweaters and things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bit of purging.
Yeah. This is all, of course, for our Northern Hemisphere listeners.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's really what the moon's up to.
Excellent.
In our period, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, since we are moving into Sagittarius in the next couple of weeks, we have, I've listed a few of the, what I think are very quintessential sort of exemplary Sagittarians. And, well, aside from my mother and grandmother, I have to shout out their birthdays. Well, both of them, actually, their birthdays, November 27th. My mother was my grandmother's birthday present. So as a mother, if you think of that as sort of absurd statement, but it's lovely that they have the birthday on the same day. And growing up with two Sagittarians, I can definitely speak to their better qualities and their more, adventurous side and the wonderful things about them, as well as,
So what degree is their sun on the 29th then?
Oh, gosh, it's like 4 or something.
Oh, okay, so it's early side. That's always nice.
Yeah, totally. And it's right, square a lot of my Virgo planets, which is odd, but, lively conversations all
around. To be.
Mm-hmm. You get the three of us in a room together and no one can get a word in edgewise.
These Sagittarians that we're speaking about, these are Sun Sagittarians.
Yeah, actually, I've got two that I've done a bit of an in-depth profile on.
Oh, lovely. I look forward to that.
Yeah, and I've also got a little tiny list of just some notable individuals who have both their Sun and Ascendant in Sag.
Double Sagittarian.
Yeah, okay. And then some that have their Sun and Moon both. Because it's an interesting contrast, I think.
Yes.
So for the list of Sun and Ascendant Sagittarians, we've got Brad Pitt. Obviously, everyone knows Brad Pitt. It's an interesting one if you think about the roles that he's been famous for and the travel and, just the sort of very Robert Redford-ish sort of, and I didn't look up what sign he is, but, it's that sort of sunny, golden,
cosmopolitan, international man.
Yeah, and just a, I don't think anyone thinks of him as a
cultures,
bad person.
Doesn't he?
Exactly. Culture. With the adopted children from all the different countries and, going to New Orleans and doing all this stuff with the housing and helping to rebuild all these homes for people in need down there. Just a really, great guy as far as we know. I mean, from what anyone can know about celebrities. But so there's him. We've got Scarlett Johansson.
Okay.
Lovely, lovely actress.
Yes, indeed.
We've also got Miley Cyrus, which is an interesting one. Sort of goes along with a trend I noticed with musicians with Sagittarian musicians.
Yes.
Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera all are Sagittarians, which is interesting if you just think about the sort of awkward step from childhood to adulthood in the spotlight and these three women who have done that with various varying degrees of success and varying degrees of grace. Think what you will of their music or what have you, but interesting, you can't sort of hide from, Sagittarians are known for being really outspoken, sometimes to a fault. for not really being able to dial down their personality to make other people feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. That definitely comes out very much, you know, very clearly in those characters.
And do you think this has helped these particular women become mm-hmm. international successes? Because Sagittarius is the sign of the international.
Sure, it certainly couldn't hurt, you know.
Yeah, they're liked in many countries, aren't
yeah,
they?
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, beyond just the, you know, sort of the surface.
The local, yes.
Yeah. And also Jimi Hendrix, uh-huh. Sagittarius Sun and Rising, and Bruce Lee, both.
Really?
Yeah, both actually November 27th, which is interesting. Just for me, it's interesting, mother and grandmother. But also, they both died at the age of 27, tragically. Well, actually, no, Bruce Lee, he was 33, I think. So Jimi Hendrix, you know, part of that 27 club of musicians that, you know, died tragically at that age. But Jimi Hendrix and Jim Morrison, both Sagittarians. So that's another interesting thing. Okay. Jim Morrison had some other rising sign, which I can't pull up right now in my memory banks.
Yes, yes.
But it's an interesting thing.
So these are all musicians you brought up this time,
yeah,
aren't they?
I've got a theory about Sagittarians as well.
I'd love to hear it. And music.
I mean, well, it's kind of, yeah, it's a little bit tragic, but, you know, if they can live to 30, you know, they'll be fine. This is my sort of throwaway theory, but it does actually, you know, there's a lot of research and, you know, statistics that kind of back it up. And there is a very awkward transition that happens, you know, some earlier than others. But, you know, they tend to do quite well and actually get better with age if they can just make it past 30, which is, you know, a lot of them do, though. So we've got Sagittarius Sun and Moon people now.
All right.
One of whom was Beethoven.
Okay.
So obviously, you know, musician, interestingly.
Still, but, it's musicians, Sagittarius. What are Sagittarius musicians?
Yeah, and talk about getting better with age. I mean, even yes. after he had gone, you know, almost completely deaf, you know, writing the best, what arguably, the Ninth Symphony, and, you know, obviously.
And even today, it lives on.
Yeah.
It lives on.
It's been remixed, and it's been, I mean, it's just iconic and wonderful, and, associated with so many popular culture things, even, mm-hmm. you know, to this day, when, even people that don't listen to classical music, that's probably one of the top three pieces of music that almost anyone could identify,
yes.
I think, just by the notes. And we've also got, let's see, John Stewart, Joan Didion, Marissa Tomei. These are other Sun, Moon, Sagittarians, which is okay. interesting in popular culture right now.
So. Yes.
But we've also, yeah, so these are the listy things that I put together, but we've also got a couple of in-depth profiles of Sagittarians
okay.
who have high percentages of their planets in Sagittarius.
So you're saying these ones coming up now have got more planets? More planets than average in Sagittarius.
Exactly. So this the first one is Noam Chomsky, the notable professor of linguistics at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, considered one of the most significant contributors to the study of linguistics in the 20th century.
Right.
Author, political activist, philosopher, lecturer.
Philosopher.
Philosopher, exactly. Just incredibly influential.
Lecturer.
Yeah. Of the period from 1980 to 1992, he was the most cited of all scholars. And then he's also the most cited in history, among the top 10 most cited scholars in history. So that's, you know, incredible for someone. Sagittarius rules education.
It does.
Higher education.
Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, overseas travel, you know, other cultures, the study of world cultures and all these things. So that's, you know, an incredibly significant, I think, sort of thing for someone that has that much Sagittarius in their chart. He's got the Sun, Mercury, Rising, and Saturn all in Sagittarius. So, just a very, you know, sort of quintessential
Sagittarian,
exactly. So there's him, and the other was Jamie Lee Curtis.
Okay.
They both have around 47% of their planets in Sag.
Is that right?
Yeah, she's got let's see, the Ascendant, Venus, Mercury, and Saturn, all in Sagittarius.
And she is, she looks it even, doesn't she?
She totally does. She looks almost more Sagittarian than any woman that comes to mind. Really. I mean, if I had
yes.
to, you know, kind
so
of...
So are we going to use her as our example of what Sagittarius looks like?
I would. I mean,
yeah.
even though, oddly enough, she is a Scorpio, but her Sun in Scorpio is in the very, very last degree. It's in
okay.
29 and some degrees mm-hmm. of Scorpio. So just, you know, a couple of minutes later, she would have been...
But
know.
Again, she came from famous parents,
yeah.
didn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Her parents were also in the arts, like Miley Cyrus
exactly.
and the...
Yeah,
ones you were talking about.
Totally. Tony Curtis and Janet Leigh.
That's right.
Incredibly, you know, famous
talented.
Pair. very talented, you know, and also I, you know, oddly enough, she ends up in the 80s, the very first thing that that Jamie Lee Curtis was famous for was being in all these sort of slasher horror movies.
Yes.
Which, you know, a genre that almost got its start with Janet Leigh in Psycho. So just an interesting thing. She was obviously considered, you know, quite a you know, attractive, sexy, you know, kind of woman. She did lots of things where she was half naked in her movies, but very angular, very androgynous, very boyish figure. Mm-hmm. And if you look, if you just Google image search for Jamie Lee Curtis, you will see, you know, obviously a spectrum of the different, you know, eras that she's, you know, from very young to now. And honestly, this I would not even say this just to be polite about anybody, but she looks better now than she did when she was 20. She looks amazing now. And this is another thing I've noticed with Sagittarians. If they live past 30.
Well. Yeah, they just don't get old.
They can just age brilliantly. She looks more comfortable in her skin now. She looks just elegant and beautiful and appealing and healthy. And it's just incredible. I was very happy for her when I did that image search.
And you know, she's an author. She's an author of children's books.
Yes, exactly. And married to the same man, to another comedian, to a fellow Brit, Christopher Guest. They've been married since 1984.
Wow.
And they've got two adopted children, which is wonderful. And yeah, just a timelessly appealing person who's just gotten better and more comfortable with her age. Yeah. So that's that.
That's a great roundup of Sagittarius. And do you want to tell us a little bit more about your family, Sagittarius? A little bit. How you perceive Sagittarius. It, as I said perhaps earlier, it's not a sign that I come across often in my circle.
Yeah, it's interesting how we all have, you know, certain signs that we just don't come across. And I was saying, I don't know virtually any Aries. Aries, I've met maybe, you know, probably just a handful in my whole life. I had a few friends when I was in middle school that were Aries, and now I don't know any, which is just a, you know, seemingly random, but obviously not random. So yeah, Sagittarians from my personal life. obviously, disclaimer, subjective, but being a Virgo with, you know, a very Virgo, Virgo moon and sun and Mercury, it's in square to Sagittarius, so there is a natural, not conflict, but there's a natural difference of viewpoints that that could cause conflict, obviously, in a friendship type relationship, which in a family relationship is more of a stimulus to get outside of your comfort zone, maybe, or to just see things differently. So growing up, obviously, everyone has, you know, differences of opinion with their parents or their,
Yes, of course.
But I think that mine took more of a form of, you know, looking at things differently all the time, as opposed to just, you know, when I disagreed because I wanted to do something that I wasn't allowed to or what have you. As a Virgo, you know, we kind of like to not be surprised, to sort of stay, you know, a little bit narrowly focused. The whole forest for the trees thing, I think, was invented, you know,
for Virgo.
But Sagittarians are very much more big picture.
They're the broad strokes.
They are the big
picture
sign. Yes. And, you know,
and Virgo really is the little.
Really. We like the little details, the picky little stuff.
Yes.
It, you know, that's the. I mean, if you're a Sagittarian and you have a Virgo child, just give them a task. Have them organize your shoe collection. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to honestly sit in my mother's closet and organize her shoes, I would organize her jewelry boxes. And I felt like she needed me to do this. Obviously, she can't organize herself. And this was my, you know, this was my thought. I would go into her room when she was getting ready for work or for school when I was, you know, like 7 maybe. And I would sit there on the floor with this jewelry box. And I would take everything out and I would organize the entire thing. I would coil up all the necklaces into nice little, you know, little rings. And then put them all back and everything would be perfect until the next time I came in and, you know, saw
the
disaster. Yes. Not to say they're messy at all, but compared to, you know, the Virgo ideal of how things should be completely untouched. And,
I mean, God forbid, right?
You know? So, yeah, there's that. They like to travel. This is a cliche, but in my personal life, I can say we traveled a lot. We moved around a lot. We didn't go on vacation. We just, you know,
just
packed up and moved there.
And explore different environments.
Yeah.
And
people used to ask me, oh, was your family in the army? And I said, no, we had a school bus. We actually, my grandmother and my mother bought a school bus when I was 8. We painted it. They stripped out all the seats, carpeted it, furniture obviously bolted down, and we traveled from Seattle to Arizona in it.
Wow.
Which was actually was great, but also terrifying, because if you've ever been to Sedona, Arizona, any road in is basically ringed by these crazy mountains, which have these winding, awful back and forth sort of roads that you know, snake up and down the mountains. And if you think about the turning radius of your average 30, you know, 60, whatever.
Unbelievable long story bus, about your journey.
Yeah, the wheels don't so much, you know, go around the corners as optimally as you might hope. So, yeah, it was terrifying and wonderful and adventurous.
Well, that is it. I don't know what to say.
You asked about my family.
And yeah. do your family still travel, would you say?
Yeah, not lately, in the last few years. They are happily settled in Oregon now.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's always, you know.
But it took a while to find their spot.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And to find many spots. I mean, they've lived in, before I came along, San Francisco, Florida, and all kinds of places. Yeah.
Gosh, so, that traveling thing is really, I mean, they say it's Sagittarius travels, but
yeah.
And
the home on your back thing with the, you know.
The backpack and.
Yeah, backpacking, absolutely. Oh, my God, I was forced to camp when I was little.
Oh, my goodness.
I have a great photo of myself, which is such a Virgo picture. It's me sitting on a suitcase in a parking lot of a campground, looking just miserable, like, take me home now. And I'm in my pajamas, I think, and I'm just sitting there just moping, just dejected and you know, horrified that I'm having to be outside. And,
gosh. Oh, so where do you consider home, then, as it were? If people say, where are you from? What do you say?
I give them a shortened version of that story, actually. It's really a
where's your hometown?
Horrible.
Would you say it's like still Oregon now?
No, I never actually lived in Oregon. I know, it's weird. I was born in Vancouver and then, you know, grew up kind of a few different places. Yeah, I was actually born, honestly, like 4 blocks from here.
What time is supposed?
Yes, exactly. I know. We can see it from our window.
We can see it.
Yeah. Yeah, talk about Christmas decorations. Oh, they do.
They do fantastic
Christmas decorations. Yeah, so that's where I was born. But we moved to Seattle and then, you know, some other places.
Jeez, it's amazing because they do say that Sagittarians are big on traveling and they're big on philosophizing.
Yes. And education, another huge thing.
Education, it's the church as well.
Yeah.
So there's many, the teacher and the preacher, those are some keywords as well, weren't they? But,
yeah, there's definitely some of that. You know, not in an organized religion kind of way. I actually have another weird, interesting kind of story about that. As a child, I went to a school where you know those little medical alert bracelets?
Yes.
That you get? And then they say, like, if you, you know, have peanut allergies, I guess these days that's what they will all say. But when I was a child, it was just, you know, like, if something happens, here's the number to call or whatever.
Yeah.
If they, you know, if there's an emergency. But then they also included your religion. And I remember distinctly when these came in, there was, you know, the box was delivered at school and we all got them. Not, you know, they weren't delivered to our homes, they were delivered to the class. And so, you know, in second grade, I guess, we were all handed out our little bracelets and we put them all on and we compared them to each other. And 90% of us had never heard of the word that was there for religion. So we were all looking at each other's going, what, trying to sound out like, you know, Judaism or Catholicism. We, none of us had ever heard of any of these. We'd seen Christianity. That was the one that we all understood.
Yes.
Mine said Buddhist, which is just as true as anything else, you know. I certainly have, like, a great deal of respect and you know, and all the, you know, probably more so than some other religions, but I definitely wouldn't have considered myself a particular follower of any religion, you know, at the age of 7. But none of us did, you know. So that was another interesting sort of, because obviously my mother would have, you know, filled out the form. So wow. It just kind of, it's an interesting thing. But, you know,
was that a journey as well, that religion? Or do we not want to go there? But
yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just I think.
Does it change as life goes on? As you explore?
Yeah, it's a quest, I think. And that's another Sagittarian, you know, word. The quest of the quest
knowledge.
For meaning, for knowledge.
Meaning
for,
of life.
Yeah. And I think all those things kind of get spun together in, you know, in the Sagittarian archetype, the, you know, because it's not just a thing of wanting to be part of a club, you know, of the the church. It's about, you know,
understanding.
What does it all mean? Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Wow. Tales of Sagittarian early life.
Right. Exactly.
And do you travel yourself now or not really? The Virgo stays put. The Virgo stays put.
Yeah. What's her name? Yeah, the psychic Sylvia Brown. She put out this little astrology book, which I actually find, you know, strangely, because she's not an astrologer, and she says as much in the intro to her book, but she says, these are my observations. And she says that every time she did a consultation, from the time she began doing her psychic work, she would write down the birth information of the person she was consulting, and then she would just stow it away. And eventually she, you know, got out all this information and kind of wrote down her observations of, what do I see when I meet a Virgo or when I meet a Taurus or whatever? And these are all just personal observations that have nothing to do with the archetypes, nothing to do with anything that was in any of the books, supposedly.
Uh-huh.
And they're amazing. I hesitate to, I mean...
Is it true to the bone?
It's amazing. Mm. She says some things that I've never seen in any other book that are just... And it's a tiny little book. It's insy. It's, you know, you could read it in like a couple of hours, and which I did. And I had a room full of people, and I kept reading things out loud and laughing my ass off because it was just so true. One of the things that she says about Virgos, which isn't particularly true for me, but I can see as I get older, it is getting truer,
uh-huh.
that they will... put, you know, you can go to their house and, you know, 5 years later, go back to the house and you can take a picture off the wall and there will be dust around it in a square because they haven't moved even like the framed photos on their wall. And, you know, I didn't used to be like that. Obviously, you know, moving around a lot and I used to like to change my furniture up a lot. But now that I have furniture I like, that's a choice as opposed to what I can afford. You know, I definitely can see that becoming
nothing
more.
Moves.
Right. Yeah. Or it moves because I'm trying to vacuum around it, you know, because of course you have to have, you do have to have a clean house.
It goes back in the exact spot.
Yeah. Yeah, for a while. Or, these days I have furniture that's so heavy I can't move it. But yeah, the Sagittarian thing, she did say some just hilarious things about, I could go on and on about Sylvia Brown's book. I do recommend it, actually. It's I can't remember the name of it. It's something to do with astrologer something.
Oh, okay.
But psychics... something about astrology.
No, I haven't read her books.
Yeah,
I haven't read her books.
No, that's the only one I've read of hers. It's just a tiny little book. It's just hilarious, though, her observations about... another thing she said about Virgo. Not to go off on a tangent about Virgo, but she's...
That's
Virgos are obsessed with their hair, she said. So much so that you just want to shave them sometimes. Just,
oh, my goodness.
I thought it was quite funny.
Yeah, do you think that might be...
I might be a little obsessed with my hair.
Might be a grain.
Tiny bit,
just
a
grain.
Yeah. Oh, there's... Yeah.
Grain.
Yeah, there's a lot of... Brilliant insights in that.
Well, I should read it then, thanks, Tom.
I will lend it to you. I see you've brought a book as well.
Yes, I have. I have brought a book.
We're moving into our book review portion.
Book review segment. Yes, indeed. And the book I'm reviewing, which I did actually review earlier this year on my site, is Learning Without Tears by Helen Connor, CONNER. And the subtitle is Discover How the Mercury Model Can Identify a Child's Unique Learning Style, Unlock a Child's True Potential, and Turn Tension into Talking.
Wow.
So
that's heavy and seemingly important.
Seemingly important, indeed. And why I like this book is I picked it up because I do a lot of children's astrology work, and it's slim to nothing out there. But because basically they're such a minority in the astrological consulting world. But this woman is different. What she has actually done is she has written a book for mainstream, and only the last chapter actually pertains to astrologers will make sense to astrologers.
Yeah.
But basically, and there's an ephemeris at the back, but basically what she's saying is that the gist of the book is about that however your Mercury is placed in your chart, and it's particularly with a child, shows how they... gain information. So if they're in the school system and they have a Mercury that requires images to go in, this is what this book is about. So the idea is that if you go and see her as a consultation, she will cast your child's chart, that's what any astrologer, and she will look into the Mercury position. There are 12 positions for Mercury to be in, which are the signs basically. And within that, she has broken down in this book how people learn depending on their Mercury.
That's an excellent resource. That sounds amazing.
It is. And she's really quite insightful. I really like the way she's written it because it's simple. Because when parents have problems with children, you know, you want some answers. We haven't got years to wait
give
to work through things.
Yeah.
Yes, we can't be sitting here 3 years' time with the same question not being answered. You want to have some things to do or structures to take. And And it's actually really, she's done it very well. And she's mentioned that each of the little Mercury models has a different animal to go with them.
Oh my God, that's great.
So that, for instance, Procon is the diplomat, that's Mercury in Libra.
Wonderful. And what's the one for Sagittarius?
Oh, let me, yes, of course. Let me have a look for the one for Sagittarius. Where am I? Flash the Pioneer.
Oh, that's great.
Pioneer, there's your key. Yes.
That's wonderful.
And I'll just read a little bit here. It says, if you are raising a child with this learning style, you better have your mental roller skates on just to keep up.
Nice.
So it's actually, the astrology is not there. You do not need to know astrology to make sense of this book.
Yeah.
And it really is, it's a vast resource. And from an astrological point of view, when you realize what she's, how it's working, it really is. She's talking about learning strategies. And the idea is that if you present information to a child in a way that they can understand it, they will grasp it and move on forward quickly.
Right, yeah. Just go with their natural predisposition to
their learning styles. Yes.
Yeah.
So if you're a teacher or an educator, because this is actually whom she's aiming this book at, you can be more effective in your classroom by grouping your children by their Mercury sign and teaching them in such a way that they catch on.
Imagine a world like that? That would be neat. No, that would be so neat. You just think, you can't help but think back to your own school experience and just go,
well, where's your Mercury face?
Virgo.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. So what? It was just reading, writing, arithmetic and...
Yeah, I mean, I was a good student, I have to say. It was, you know, I would do my homework and I was excellent at spelling. I mean, I was reading at a, you know, college level in like sixth grade or whatever. And... not because I was like some, you know,
because you had Mercury in Virgo. Little,
yeah, but and grammar, and you know, it may not sound like it from speaking out loud, but you know, just the structure of sentences and all, it came very naturally to me. I just saw how things were supposed to fit together, even if I didn't know what the predicate and the subject and the object and blah of the sentences were. I knew, you know, how to write them, and if they were wrong, I could immediately spot it on the page.
You see, this is it, because in the elementary age group, which is a bit that sort of interests me, is that if children cannot read, they cannot get anywhere with any of the other subjects.
Yep.
So the reading, writing, and arithmetic are the basics. And I know it's a joke, and we say it as a joke, but if the child cannot read, they've lost the plot moving forward.
Oh, yeah.
And but if you, as you say, if you've got Mercury in Virgo, then clearly you get a grip on alphabets and patterns sooner.
Yeah.
But children with Mercury and other signs do not necessarily work that way.
Absolutely,
and that's the point. And also, if it's retrograde or direct, that makes a difference.
Yeah.
Yours is...
it's straight direct.
Direct.
Yeah.
Okay, so even you've got, you know, really, for reading and writing, it's got to be the best position, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Not remembering everything she ever wrote in there.
Yeah.
But that's the whole point, that the children learn through their Mercury.
Yeah.
So I've actually taken the essence of what she's spoken about in this book, and I thought about it for a while. I thought, well, seeing as I teach astrology to adults, it's got to work for them too.
Yeah.
Because the majority of my clients are 40 to 60 years old, mm-hmm. right? So they left school a million years ago, and they're not used to reading, writing, and most, even holding a pen, is people don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
So I started gearing my classes to the student, because I do a lot of one-to-one teaching. Where's their Mercury? Let me give it to them in a package that they can digest.
Yeah, interesting.
Oh, I try to. I try to.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'm just dishing it out from my Mercury, and
right.
that's not going down everybody's throat.
And where's yours?
Leo.
Mm-hmm.
We all laugh and fall over. Yes, because the way my message comes is Leo, but you hear it through your Mercury.
Yeah.
So if I can package it so you understand.
Yeah.
Or the student understands. That's sort of what I liked about this book, was that I could actually use this, because people who are older just sort of are struggling to get back into learning anything anyway. Astrology
right.
is a complex subject once you get going.
Yeah.
So I would like to think that I'm stepping away from my Leo Mercury and it's all just drama and presenting...
in the easiest way for them to absorb.
Yes, so the Virgo Mercury person, I cannot just come with this whole long story about what happened to the king and then we get to the point. I have to just give you the facts. A, B, C Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
And then the story, you know.
Yes.
Because then I'll be able to know where we're going with it. Exactly, yeah.
Exactly. And if you've got if you've got Mercury in Pisces, they want some music coming as well. There's got to be a pattern, music. Yeah. And, you know.
And images, and, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the signs do need to learn through pictures.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think it's the left brain, right brain. School's not,
like, rock that, you know? I mean.
Yeah, your brain still works. Writing and pictures. I don't know, can't remember which side.
Oh, left is words and right is
exactly. So half of the zodiac is left brain, the other half is right brain.
Yeah,
and it depends who you are.
Yeah, interesting.
So yeah, I thought it was interesting.
Totally.
But and I was actually able to turn it around, not just for the kids I work with, but for the grown ups as well.
Yeah.
And now I'm actually managing other people I'm coming across in my general practice and people I have to deal with.
Yeah.
If I happen to know where their Mercury is, I can present my ideas and thoughts and message so they hear it the first time.
Excellent. That could be useful for, I mean, for a lot of different people other than just parents and teachers. I mean, my mother is an office manager for a veterinary clinic.
Where's her Mercury?
In Sagittarius. And, mm-hmm. So she's got a lot of... she's got, I think, something like 10 employees, somewhere around there. That's a small group, but it's a very tight-knit team, and most of them, she's done the hiring, so, there's a lot of just studying how to best manage a group of...
How to get your message across.
Yeah, and a lot of them are in school as well, just, in school for themselves, but also, getting their certification for, being veterinarians or veterinary technicians. And so there's a lot of, there's a lot of things to know and also, a lot of different learning styles. So that's, that would be very interesting.
This is the thing, because we know what people's sun signs is because we talk about it and this and that and we know where they are. Yeah. But when you start finding out if your group of 10, you've got 3 with Mercury and Virgo and 3 with Mercury and Gemini, put them together.
Yeah.
And then your creatives on the other side.
Yeah. Definitely.
There's those who want the rules and those who want the information and those who want the creative side.
Exactly. Those who need more personal attention or...
Yes, and a story. There has to be... So they can imagine...
Right. Mercury and Taurus maybe learns a little slower, but they will retain it forever.
That's right.
Yeah. Just important to know, not to single anyone out or, discriminate. But, it's definitely important.
And realize how you're presenting yourself.
Right.
Through your Mercury.
Totally.
Because that's how you talk and communicate and... gesticulate.
Yes, and for the fire signs, I'm sure you can relate, for Sagittarians and Leos and Aries, it's important to realize that you might be coming over, you might be bowling someone over with information. Or
they're missing the message because of what's coming with it.
Yeah, yeah. We're doing this thing with our hands. We're doing this pouncing sort of motion with our hands. Don't be overbearing. Yeah, yeah.
So, incredibly interesting book, not mainstream astrology, but certainly when you've got a bit of astrology under your belt, this is, once you realize how this works, you can actually work it yourself.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting. It clearly is aimed at kids getting the basic information through, but you can use it for all your children at home or your husband or wherever.
Anyone that you have to teach something.
Yes, or get the message through, or your kid's teacher, or these people you have to, the women who run the joint downstairs,
Yeah. Anything where there's just information to be managed or people to be given tasks or anything like that. It's very useful.
So I will pay attention to make sure I tell you things mercurially so that you understand what I'm saying the first time around and you're not saying, what was that she said?
Yeah, it's so funny.
Because this is where cross connections come, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And I'm always telling people, send me an email. Just write it in a... PowerPoint is so vilified, and for a good reason in many ways. But I like bullet points. I like lists of things where it's like, there's a list of 5 things that, I can remember and I can encapsulate.
Whereas recently we had the situation where you gave me some information and I really didn't... I missed the whole point of it all. Because
is that true?
And I had to come back and say, because... I don't know why.
Was it an email? Did I email you something where it was very laid out perfectly in my head, but it didn't just...
That's right. Something about which podcast, and I thought, was one missing? And I didn't realize in the detail was the
answer. Oh, because I've numbered them. But, the story was completely missing there.
It never occurred to me that you would number that. No, I know.
Oh, no, that's wonderful, though. That's good to know.
But there's sort of an example, even in day-to-day life, where you think, well, what was this and what was that?
Right. And for me, when people tell me things over the phone, or like if I'm in a meeting and someone's laying out their whole thing, so many times I'll be in a meeting with someone and they'll start reeling off something that they're expecting me to, it sounds absurd, but to remember, you know? And I'm going, oh my God, it's not in front of me. I can't see it. And if I'm taking notes, I'm not paying attention and listening. So I have to transfer like, oh my God, I think they need me to, you know, to absorb this. So then I have to start taking notes, at which point I'm not in the conversation, you know?
Exactly, because your brain's turned off.
Totally. I mean, my, you know, visual brain is you know, engaged and I'm...
Exactly.
I'm taking notes as like, as if I'm an automatic writer, you know? That's what I did in school. And in my history classes, I would just take notes throughout the entire class, which, you know, if she had, the teacher had, you know, called me and said, what was the last thing I said? I would have to read it. If someone had taken away my notepad, I would not have been able to tell them what had been said.
Exactly.
Because it's all going through, you know.
It's been processed through the Mercury in Virgo.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, this is why this thing at SOTA the other weekend, when I said to them, you don't have to sit there and write down everything I say or what's on the screen, because I'm going to send you these screen notes afterwards.
Yeah.
All you need to write down is gems.
Yeah.
Or draw a picture about what I'm saying.
That's so great to see.
Knowing the information's coming, because there was a load went to them. And otherwise, people are just writing.
Right.
And they're not following.
Yeah.
My story.
Right. But that's great that you tell them in, you know, at the beginning, here's what to pay attention to.
Exactly. And I forgot to tell you, I dished them out a crossword.
Oh.
I must bring it up and give it to you.
Oh my goodness.
I'm going to send it to you, an astrological crossword.
Fantastic.
And I said, just give you something to do when you've got a spare moment.
Yeah.
It's another way to flex your brain and keep plasticity, I think that's the word.
Plasticity, exactly. That's super important.
So we're hoping to be able to communicate. Well, of course, you don't know who everybody is, but if you put it so everyone has a chance of getting the message the way they want to receive it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, so let me just reiterate. That book was called Learning Without Tears by Helen Connor.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So that's a great book.
Sounds really, really valuable. And we will link to that on our website.
Yes, we will. Let's hear about our website.
Our website is actually underway at last, at long last. At the moment... Well, actually, at the moment, there should be some stuff. As we speak. It was a bit of an arduous process, which I will not go into.
So what's our website name now?
AccessAstrology.com.
That's great.
It is there.
So we're working hard to get our website together, get the background information in, the links to books we're reviewing.
Yeah.
Products
show
we're
notes,
reviewing,
charts of people that we talk about.
The charts that you've put up today and maybe some images of these people and, of course, the previous podcast, which the other three, what we did. And
you'll be able to subscribe.
We are working towards it and getting it. And it's actually quite exciting, this journey that we're on now, because we have a Sagittarius ascendant.
Yes, we do. Our chart for... So,
and I'm not quite sure where our Mercury is, and really, we should know these things. I'm sure you can dig it out.
At risk of rustling papers on the microphone, I will look that up.
Well, when we need information, we need information. So we're going to be posting our star chart on the website as well, so you can see if you mesh nicely with us. We really have a message for you. But I do recall we had Sagittarius rising, but I don't know where our Mercury was. I don't know the chart well enough.
It is in Virgo.
Well, of course it is, Harwin. Of course it is. So do send us emails, because that's how we want to,
indeed,
to receive our information.
Yeah, exactly.
Bulleted, apparently.
Completely, yes. All in list format, very clear.
So our start chart, we're going to put our Access Astrology start chart up on the site. It'll be under the tag, probably start chart or something there.
Exactly.
And you can see if you, as I say, if you mesh with our chart nicely, then we will definitely have messages for you.
Yeah, and even if not. Yeah.
Exactly. Arwen and my charts both mesh very well with this chart, and we're very pleased to have the Sagittarian ascendant.
Yeah.
Because it gives us the journey, the vision that we've got broad horizons. We're happy to go down all sorts of roads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And focusing on educating and you know, bringing information to people and
exactly
exposing more people to astrology in a way that's interesting and sort of accessible to all levels of, you know, people that know what we're talking about, people that might not, that just you know,
just love us for who we are anyway.
Yeah.
But I think also it gives us a chance to express our own opinions as well, which I think is part of the process for you and I.
And I think that's something I think that's a universal of learning. You know, when we talk about learning styles, I think that's something that is just a personal, you know, whether it's a story, but it's a personal account of their experience of astrology is always, I think, so much more memorable and you know,
absolutely
this applies to someone in real life. And it always sort of resonates, you know, more so than just a, here are the archetypes, here is the, you know.
That's right, because otherwise it's very dry. If you don't know who, you don't know a Sagittarian, you don't know someone with Mercury in Virgo. Yeah, but now if you do, you've got something to relate to, which is, there's always a nice story to go with it.
Exactly. And I mean, God knows, I love the, you know, the cookbook style with the lists and keywords. You know, give me a keyword list any day, but
and you're there.
But it's always just so, you know, so interesting and so much more sort of resonant when you hear that, you know, this is what all of the people I've ever known that, you know, like Sagittarians and moving and whatnot. Yeah,
that sounds good. That's great. So we hope our website will. We're going to get it up to speed, and then it will just be moving forward from that. I think
you'll always be able to find our podcasts and our show notes and whatnot up there,
and our connect information about what we did and who we are, what's going on, maybe even what's coming up next. I'm not sure if we even know that ourselves.
If we know it, you'll know it. Yeah,
indeed.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are still having. We still have our Wednesday meetups. It's this. It'll be next week, Wednesday.
That will be the 27th.
Subject to correction. Follow us on Twitter. I've got it there. Mm-hmm. It's every second Wednesday at 10 o'clock at the Waves at Howe on Smythe.
Yeah.
And...
in Vancouver.
Downtown Vancouver. And I love that coffee shop. They've installed a Bitcoin machine.
Oh, have they? Interesting.
Yes, it's there. I've been in there 3 days this week, and you can't get near it because people are feeding money, and it's absolutely taken off with a leap.
I'm going to have to look that up because I honestly don't even know what a Bitcoin machine would be.
Okay.
Well, I know what Bitcoins are. I've read about that.
Well, this is where you buy your Bitcoins, and it's absolutely fantastic. Off topic, but yesterday I set up my Bitcoin account. I thought,
did you?
Yes, I thought this is cryptocurrency.
Yes.
Got to be the way for the future. I'm looking to be accepting payment that way within 3 months.
Wow.
And
you're on the wave. You're riding the wave. That's great.
I'm a Pluto in the second house.
Yeah.
Excellent. Hopefully it's going to work. My husband's shaking a bit of his boots about it, but I said, no, don't you worry about that. We'll take it. We'll see where it goes. Why not?
Right. Yes.
Why not?
Sure.
Everyone was scared of PayPal when that came out.
Oh, yes. Scared of different currencies is I've got Neptune in the second house, so I'm just like, whatever.
Oh, no. I used to trade Forex. It's,
I've heard of that too.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know. You're on the edge. But anyway, so that interests me, and I will.
High finance and.
It's really low finance for me, but it's up to date technology that I like to manage. Anyway, we'll see how that goes. By the way, so anyway, that's the meetups.
Yeah, it's the meetup every other Wednesday.
If you can get a seat, what I'm saying is the place is hotting up because everyone's in there queuing up to feed the machine.
Yeah. Well, we meet at 10 in the morning on every other Wednesday.
So. Yes, that's great.
Yeah. So we don't have any other events, but next 2 week period is going to be December 1st through, let's see, what is it going to be?
The 16th?
Yeah, exactly. The first 2 weeks of December. And thank you for joining us. Access Astrology is produced and recorded by Roger Aaron Toews. I'm Arwen O'Neill.
I'm Alison Price.
And we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Enjoy.